So good to see you today. For you guys who are in the arena, let's hear some noise from you guys. Right through to all sat in your living room or wherever you are today listening to us on these broadcasts. And I want to share with you, with the time that we have, my title is The Nudge of God. I don't know if you have ever been sat at the traffic lights and suddenly the person behind you starts pipping their horn at you and you're sat there thinking, what is wrong with this person? Anybody been there? And then you kind of pay attention, you look, and the lights have gone to green. And you kind of think about yourself, Dave, what is wrong with you? You know? And if you sit there long enough, then what you find is that they start to nudge towards you. Has anybody ever experienced that? Another thought that I had is when you were a kid and you went to the swimming baths and all your mates decided to dare you to go off the third stage. And I've been there and I remember this time quite vividly and climbing up for the first time to the third stage. And I climbed all the way up and then I looked all the way down. And has there ever been a time where you kind of done something that you've wished you've never done? Well, that's kind of how I felt on that day. And there was a mate, of course, usually stood at the side of you. And it seems like an eternity and all your mates are down there and they're all egging you to jump, to dive, whatever, but to go off this stage and you're just panicking, you don't know what to do. And so eventually you say to your friend, just push me. Just nudge me off. I don't think I can do this, so just nudge me. Does anybody know what that feels like? And then I want to ask you this. Have you ever felt the nudge of God? Have you ever felt that? You know, I have. I've felt the nudge of God, and I've felt the almighty push of God now and again in my life. I wonder if you know what that feels like. You see, we have a God who is true to his word. He does what he says. He keeps true to his word. And what he wants for us, he will do everything within his power to keep us, to help our, to keep to our word as well. There's a tale of two prophets in the Old Testament. And the interesting thing is that with these prophets, both of them, their mouths are shut, which is quite awkward because a prophet was the mouthpiece of God, right? So it was a really awkward time in history. And in one case, it was a case of can't speak. And with the other prophet, it was a case of won't speak. So it was can't speak, won't speak. And turning to Isaiah today, Isaiah 6, and looking at verse 5, we read that, here's a bit of context. So Isaiah is here, and he realizes that he is stood. He is in the presence of God. He sees a vision of God. The Almighty God is suddenly there. And in Isaiah 6, verse 5, it reads like this. Woe to me, I cried. This is Isaiah. Woe to me, I cried, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Do you know what? When that happened, he couldn't speak. He had to be silent. He felt so unclean that he couldn't speak the word of God. And then there is a beautiful framework, a beautiful story that follows within Isaiah, that this angelic being comes down to Isaiah. And on the way, he picks up this hot coal from the altar. And the altar of God was the forgiveness of God. It showed us the redemption of God. And here's this seraphim, this angelic being that comes down to Isaiah, and he places the burning coal on the lips of Isaiah. And at that moment, cleansing came. At that moment, there was redemption. At that moment, there was a freedom and a forgiveness that came into his life. And then verse 8 follows on in Isaiah 6, where it says this. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Us meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah, and I said, here I am, send me. He's basically saying, I'm your prophet, God. I'm your mouthpiece. I'm ready. I'm ready to begin and to say anything that you want me to say. There is no nudge needed. I'm ready. I wonder whether you remember that day where you felt the presence of God and you felt that burning coal come down to you in the form of Jesus and bring forgiveness. To come to that place where you realize freedom, where there was a smile on your face, there was a freedom in your heart, and you were there, and you were like Isaiah, and you were saying, God, whatever it is, send me. Wherever you want me to go, God, I'm ready. I'm your mouthpiece. Just tell me where to go, and I'll go in Jesus' name. Send me, God. Then we come to prophet number two, who he is named, obviously, after his book that's in the Bible about him, and this is Jonah. And we read from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and it reads like this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. It said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah, he's the prophet of God, he is the mouthpiece of God again, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. He said, I won't speak. So in the beginning we had Isaiah that said, I can't speak, and here's Jonah saying, I won't speak. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port of Tarshish. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. How many know that here we have a prophet with attitude? And sometimes in our life, you know, we're all the mouthpiece of God. If we know Jesus, if we have him in our life, we are all his mouthpiece. And sometimes we get just a little bit of attitude, or maybe that's just me. And even sometimes we come to the point in our journey where we just say, I'm not doing this anymore. Here's Jonah, the voice piece, the mouthpiece of God, saying, I'm just not doing this anymore. I wonder if you've been there. I wonder if there's been a time in your life where you felt, I just can't do this anymore. Maybe you were angry with God. Jonah clearly was angry with God. Maybe you were angry or have been angry with people. I clearly see by this story that Jonah had a dislike for certain people. Or maybe he was just angry with life. Maybe you've been the same. That during this experience with God, you felt, I just can't do this anymore. I thought this. Sometimes Tarshish seems like a preferable option. To run away, to do something different, to go somewhere different. But let me tell you something about Tarshish. It always leads to a dark place. So, looking at this story, where could there be darker than in the belly of a large fish? He went to a dark place. You see, often, this is the deal, I think, with our lives. Often, we start out like Isaiah, and we end up like Jonah. You know, I believe that God will always nudge us. God will always nudge you wherever you're listening from this morning, even across the world. God will always nudge you towards the right thing for your life. Because we're his children, right? He loves us. And it says in his word that those he loves, he chastens, he follows, he brings to a right place. And of course, the story goes on in the Bible in Jonah, speaks about the fact that Jonah got to Joppa and he boarded this ship. And interestingly enough, that when he's on this ship, a big storm comes along. I'm calling this the nudge storm. I mean, you know, this was a little bit more than a nudge. This was a big push by God that's put on the sea because Jonah was running away from him. How many know that God loved Jonah? He wanted him to continue in his work and what he'd called him to be. And so he sends this storm along and it rages. And the sailors, I mean, these are sailors. These are toughened guys. These know the sea. And it gets so bad that they're throwing stuff overboard because there's fear of the ship sinking. And they're asking questions. Whose fault is this? I don't know whether they were superstitious or what. But they started asking, this must be somebody's fault. And Jonah, I mean, who would admit this? Jonah opens his mouth at this point and says, it's my fault. I mean, would you do that? It's my fault that the ship's like this. I'm running away from God kind of thing. And because they're fearful of what God might do, they don't throw Jonah overboard as Jonah suggests, but they begin to row harder and harder and the storm rages more. And eventually, it says in the Bible, it says in the first chapter there that eventually they throw him over, verse 15. They throw him over. I want to tell you that there was a nudge bigger than the sailorman that threw him overboard that day. I believe it was the nudge of God bringing Jonah to a rightful place. And of course, God as well, in his nudging, he prepares alternative transport for him. So he falls into the sea and here comes this big fish and swallows him And the Bible really shows that he spent 3 days and three nights in a pretty desperate place, in a dark place, in a discouraged situation with attitude. He's in this dark place. And sometimes, you know, that 3 days and that three nights can be 3 years. Sometimes it seems that forever that we're in this dark place. Jonah had his experience. And I thought this about our darkest places. Even in our darkest places, we've got to believe that God is still calling the shots. He's still calling the shots. We kind of think we're finished. We think in those times that God's abandoned us and really it's us running away from him and he's trying to woo us back to himself. It's funny, you know, when I thought about this, I had a little chuckle to myself that Jonah thought he was finished. At that point, can you imagine? It's like, where the sack am I? It's dark in here. I'm kind of guessing by the stuff that's going on. There's little fish coming through this mouth. I must be in a big fish or something. But it's a really, really dark place. I don't know where I'm going. I think I'm finished. But you know, when Jonah thought he was finished, he was actually just on his way to the beach. Perspective, how we see certain things. And then, of course, if we know the story, the fish spat Jonah out onto the beach. And I'm sure that as he rolled onto the sandy shore on that day, that there was a big sign in front of him that said, "Welcome to Nineveh." See, God was bringing him back by his nudge to the place that he should be. So God's nudging us towards the place that we should be. And he's going to work very hard at doing that. And just as I close and just before I bring this challenge, I want to say quickly four things, literally just speak them. Four things that the nudge of God produces in our life. Firstly, he restores us through his nudge. He brings us into right relationship with himself. The Bible says that Jonah renewed his vows inside the belly of a fish. What a place to do it. In the darkest place, he renewed his vows. Secondly, he leads us into maturity through his nudge. How many know Jonah learned some lessons? And he still had some lessons to learn. And through these nudges that God brings in our life, he's not only teaching us lessons, he's growing us, he's maturing us. Thirdly, he brings us back to purpose through his nudge. You see, he was always meant to be the voice to Nineveh. And one day he became that voice. And fourthly, he creates positive change through his nudge. You know, if you read on in that story, Nineveh, this wicked city, heard the word of the Lord through the mouth of Jonah and they repented. Positive change came through the nudge of God. Okay, as we take our seats again in the arena, I'm going to pass us over to just a time where we're going to discuss the question that I have for you today in relation to the nudge of God. And here it is. In what ways are you feeling the nudge of God in your life presently? In what kind of ways are you feeling the nudge of God in your life presently? We could say, what is he pushing you? What is he nudging you towards?